Hi, and welcome to another edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm your host, Parker J., and we are going to be talking about relational reset. Relational reset isn't just a term. It's the new book that's coming out hot off the press this Tuesday by the one and only Laurel Shaler. For those of you who remember, I met Laurel Shaler last year at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference, and I'm so excited to have her on the show today. This is the month of February, the month where we celebrate contributions done by African-American members of our society, but we also are talking about love, and love is a major part of our society. It's a major part of who we are. Relationships are so important. But the question that I asked you before the introduction is this: are your relationships all that you want them to be? And if they're not, what can you do to reset them? What do we mean by relational reset? Well, Dr. Shaler is going to tell us all about that in just a few moments, and you can weigh in on a conversation and ask questions. You can call in at 929-477-1965 and press 1 to be live on air, or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, we are talking about relational reset. Are your relationships where you want them to be? That is a vital question that we all have to ask ourselves, because if they're not, what are we going to do to change that? Are we going to continue in that relationship? Or are we going to reset it? Or maybe another option? I don't know. Let Dr. Shaler tell us what to do. And so, Dr. Shaler, without further ado, I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
One of the things I want to do is, first of all, I want people to know who you are. So go ahead, tell us who you are in your own words.
Okay, sure. Well, thanks again for having me on the show. My background is as a social worker and counselor, and I'm currently an associate professor and the director of the Master of Arts in Professional Counseling program at Liberty University. We had some really exciting news this week. Our program, the program that I direct, received an additional accreditation from KCRIP. So anyone in the counseling realm would find that exciting. So I wanted to pass that news along. And in my background, I have worked mostly for the Department of Veterans Affairs as a mental health social worker. So I worked a lot with individuals, groups, and couples. And now, in addition to my work in higher education, I have a small private practice, and I've enjoyed writing a couple of books. So that's a little bit about me and kind of what brought me to this place.
One of the things that you say on your bio, on your website, is that you're here to help women with their relationships and with healing and with so many different things. What happened to lead you down this path? Because I know some of it, of course, has to do with your background in social work and work with mental health issues and patients, things of that nature. But what made you say, you know, this is my calling here?
Right. That's a great question. And I've done a lot of thinking through that through the years. And I think I have to take you back to a life-saving surgery that I had when I was 18 years old. I actually had a 14-pound ovarian cyst. So I was told, the doctor looked me in the eyes and said, we either have to remove this, or if we don't remove it, it'll rupture and you'll die instantly. So I went through my own journey of healing after something pretty traumatic. And once I got through that and felt led down this path of helping people, I still can't say that I knew exactly where that would take me or what type of person I felt God was calling me to help. And in time, he led me to this place of really, really wanting to help women with a specific emphasis on helping women find who they are in Christ and find hope and healing through him. And that's what led me to write my first book, Reclaiming Sanity, Hope and Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Overwhelming Life Events. And from there to go on to write the second book that we're talking about today, Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back.
You know, you made the point about helping women find their identity. It's not just identity, it's about themselves, but to find their identity in Christ. Why is that significant?
Yeah, I think that when we, especially in today's society, you know, here we are, we have this great opportunity to use social media platforms to, you know, to share good news or bad news or anything in between. So there's lots of positives about social media. But in particular, there can also be a negative slant to that. And we start hearing these messages, not just in social media, but just in our own circles and maybe in our workplace, maybe in our churches, maybe in our friends or neighborhoods or communities. And we start getting these messages about who we should be. And if we don't feel like we live up to those expectations, we can really start to feel discouraged or down or even depressed. And so instead of looking to the outside world to tell us who we should be, we're going to be so much more at peace and more fulfilled in our lives if we focus on who we are in Jesus and living out the call that he has placed in our lives rather than what other people think we should be doing.
I think this is really key to the book that we're going to be talking about today, with this relational reset, because so many women have tried to find their identity by being with different men for whatever reason, and then their identity is swallowed up because they're placing their identity in a man who is flawed, who is not perfect, who could be a very nice man. We're not saying they're all, you know, jerks or anything like that. Just be a nice man, but they're trying to, you know, completely be swallowed up by their relationships and not by Christ, who doesn't do the things that men do, which can fail us, hurt us, all these other kind of things. And so I think that's a key component of relational reset. So before we get into some of the nuts and bolts of this, tell us, what made you say, you know what, I did my first book, now I have to do my second book. What need did you see crying out to you as you say, you know, this needs to happen? Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, many years ago, the idea that came to me was really more related to friendships and seeing how friendships can cause problems, especially for women, even as adults. And sometimes you think, oh, you know, they get into teenage drama, but once women grow up, all of that stops. And then when I realized it didn't necessarily stop and you can still have challenges in relationships with friends, I really started looking at some issues related to friends. And then this idea started to just turn over in my mind, and in collaboration with my agent, with the book publishers, of expanding that and looking at a wide variety of relationships. So something that I'm really excited about with Relational Reset is we do talk a lot about romantic relationships in the book, but there are also aspects to the book that will speak to those who are struggling in an adult parent-child relationship or in a relationship with a colleague or with a neighbor or with someone at your church. So just being able to look at how we can improve all of our relationships is something that I think will be really helpful to the reader.
So for those of you who are listening in, we're talking to Dr. Shaler about her newest release coming out on Tuesday, the 5th, called Relational Reset. Are your relationships all that you want them to be? You want to definitely get this book and find out what you can do if the answer to that question is no, or if the answer to the question is, you know what, everything can be improved. And so this is the book that you want to get. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, also at your local bookstores as well. So, Dr. Shaler, let's go ahead and dig into this. One of the things that you mentioned that I think is key is that women in general – women connect through relationships. I know for myself, years ago I heard someone say, well, women connect through secrets. And what they meant was, like, as a little girl, you meet somebody in school or something like that, or like a kindergartner or something, you say, oh, I have a secret, you know, whatever the secret is, you know, just something tidbit. And then you share that secret with this girl and you share that secret with that girl. And you become friends. You know, and then over time, that relationship building grows and grows through different ways. So that was one person said that we share things through secrets. We share things through talking to each other, to relating to each other. Oh, yeah, I deal with this issue, too, or I have that issue, too. So relationships are a huge part of women's connecting with other people. Am I incorrect in saying that? Did I say it wrong? Go ahead and just expand on that for me.
Well, I actually agree with you wholeheartedly, and I can appreciate that information that you received years ago about connecting through secrets. But it's interesting in how we sometimes connect, not just through sharing something personal about ourselves, but sharing things about other people, also known as gossip. So one of the things that I write about in the book is the problem with gossip and how it doesn't actually enhance our relationships. We might think that it will, because we think, oh, if I share something with someone, then they might want to trust me more, or they might want to be closer to me, or be my friend. But ultimately, it can cause more damage, because if someone is willing to share with you someone else's secret, they're probably willing to share your secrets with someone else as well.
Yes.
So I think that that's something that's really important to think about is, you know, when we talk about sharing with each other and connecting in what we're saying, what are we actually saying? So I've always been a talker my whole life, but it's so funny that I actually became a counselor, because our primary role isn't talking, but listening. So sometimes talkers can also be good listeners, but we have to be real careful that that talking doesn't turn to sharing gossip, and that that listening doesn't turn to listening to gossip, and really being careful about keeping in mind that, even if something is factual, that if it's not our business to share, then we shouldn't be sharing it, because we're not going to be able to hold on and improve our relationships if we spend our time, focused on other people.
So in Relational Reset, what are some of the tough questions that you're going to ask our readers?
Well, that is in and of itself is a good question. Because I do think that there are some things in this book that might step on our toes a little bit. And we kind of have to go into reading this with a little bit of an open mind and an open heart into what God wants to reveal to us. And, you know, I really write this book from a perspective of me too. I'm not saying that I've got relationships all figured out, so look to me because I'm the model for relationships. No. Instead, I'm saying, look, I've struggled too, and this is a little bit about what I've learned and a little bit about what God has taught me, and I just want to pass that on to you. And something really neat when you look at the questions that the reader is going to be asked is at the end of every chapter, there's a title, a section that's titled Working on Myself. And so I do ask those questions, like, has insecurity affected a relationship in your life, and how has that affected it? So even just starting off, having to be vulnerable and be open to disclose your own insecurities is something that can be a bit of a challenge. But ultimately, each chapter is ended with a prayer. And I love that. I love that we can go from digging deep and really being vulnerable and honest with ourselves and God, and then going to the Lord in prayer and turning some of those things over to Him.
You said insecurity. And when you said insecurity, my brain cells just blew up, because I know that I have a lot of insecurities. I know a lot of people have a lot of insecurities. Do insecurities cause us to stay in relationships that we should have left years ago?
Oh, yes, I would say absolutely. And in fact, in talking about insecurity is the first chapter of the book. And the reason for that is because insecurity can kind of trigger everything else, just like what you're talking about. It can certainly lead us to, you know, say we're dating someone and we stay because we think, well, this isn't a perfect relationship, but I don't know that I'll get anyone better than this. So we allow those lies to spin up in our head. And sometimes those lies are taught to us by other people in our life, maybe even in that situation, the boyfriend. But other times it's internal. We're listening to the world's voice instead of, I go back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, instead of listening to who God says we are. And I have some favorite verses that I try and remind myself. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 139:14 that says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So
Amen.
When I start to feel insecure, when I start to feel insecure, I just go back to that verse. No, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So I think we have to just be very intentional about committing these precious words to memory and repeating them to ourselves, even out loud if needed, so that we can remind ourselves the truth of who we are and not allow that insecurity to lead us down a path that we shouldn't be on.
And for those of you who are listening to the sound of our voices, we're talking to Dr. Shayla. She is the author of the book Relational Reset. It's available on Amazon.com, but it hits the press on Tuesday the 5th, February 5th, and you want to go ahead and get a copy of this book. If your relationships aren't all that you want them to be, not just romantic relationships, but friendships, parent-child relationships, and many other relationships that we have, this is the book that you want to get. You want to reset those relationships. She's going to give you first thought-provoking questions. She's going to give you meat to chew on, and then she's going to give you a prayer to hang on to as well. Because whenever we have problems, we can always go to the Lord in prayer. If you want to weigh in on a topic, you can by calling in at 929-477-1965 and then press 1 to be live on air. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. When we come back, more of Dr. Shayla and myself and Relational Reset. We'll be right back.
Question, if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer, no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. So very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to Dr. Shayla. She is the author of the book Relational Reset. Are your relationships all that you want them to be? Let's think about that for a second. We all have relationships of some sort. Perhaps we don't have, let's say, a romantic relationship between, let's say, a husband and a wife, but we have parents, we have children, we have friends, we have coworkers, church relationships, and many others. Are they all that you want them to be? If the answer to that question is possibly no, or if it's saying, you know what, let me dig down into myself and really delve into this question, Relational Reset is the book for you. It's hot off the press on February 5th. You can go ahead and get a copy of this today, though. It's available on Amazon.com. And make sure if you're not ready for today, get it on Tuesday, February 5th at your local bookstore and wherever books are sold. Dr. Shayla, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show, for coming on board, helping us to really delve down into this topic of relationships. With February being, quote unquote, the month of love, we talk about Valentine's Day, people getting lovey-dovey, as they should, as they should. I don't think you have to wait till Valentine's Day to have it happen, but at the same time, you know, we kind of put special emphasis on it. We're talking a lot about relationships, and this is so important because someone may be getting ready to get ready for a romantic day with someone they don't love. So there's that. But let's talk about other relationships as well. One of the biggest relationships, if not the biggest, is the one between parent and child. In particular, the relationship between mother and daughter, mother and son. So those relationships are highly important. Let's talk about that for a second. A parent-child relationship is vital to the development of a person. It's vital. So if that relationship is not where you want it to be, what are some of the first things a person needs to consider as they evaluate it?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, the way that we learn attachment to other people is through our first relationships, and that's first through the mother and then, you know, also through the father, but certainly through the mother. And if we don't have a strong attachment to our mother, then it can make it more difficult for us to attach to other people in our lives. And there's several different types of attachment styles, and some are, like, three of them are negative. There's only one really healthy attachment style, and that comes from that strong bond. I know that for me, my husband and I adopted a little girl little over a year ago. We met her when she was 2 months old. Yeah, it's so exciting. We met her when she was 2 months old. And we finalized her adoption before she turned one. But because we were able to connect with her when she was so little, we just have a wonderful bond with her, a wonderful relationship with her. And there's lots of ways that new parents can bond with their young children. And I encourage new parents to do that, to make sure that they do hold their children a lot, that they have some skin-to-skin contact, and that they snuggle with them and love them. And you know, there used to be this thing where parents were told, let your kids cry it out. But that's not when they're itty-bitty. You need that time to bond. The child needs to know that you're going to come to them when they're upset and when they have a need. But it doesn't mean that just because you didn't attach when you were a child that you can't learn to attach when you're older, even an adult. There is hope for those that did not attach well or bond well with their parents. And there's even hope for the adult child and the parent. And so one of the stories that I share, and of course I changed some details in the story just to protect confidentiality of former clients, but I share a story about a woman who just did not get along with her mother, and part of it was that she was essentially her mother's caregiver, not in the sense that her mother had a physical ailment and she was at the end of life, and you know, lots of times adult children become caregivers to their parents in that realm, but more that her mother had, you know, pretty significant mental health issues, and she had long been her mother's caregiver, even from the time that she was a child. And so they just didn't really get along. She just did not have a true mother-daughter experience. The daughter was almost like the parent. At the same time, she was able to work through some of those issues, and part of it came down to being able to just talk straight to her mother and being able to be sincere and honest and direct. We can't control how someone else reacts to us, but we can work on communicating in a way that it is helpful and is less likely to trigger them. Again, we can't control whether or not they get offended or upset, but there are ways that we can talk to people who have hurt us. And I share a little bit about that, and also about the difference between being passive and being aggressive, and being assertive. And assertive is the way that we want to go.
Now, let me talk about that word assertive, because assertive comes off a certain way. Assertive, when I think of it, people think of assertive as being strong, kind of bulldozing a little bit over that. I don't always think that's the right way to look at it, because then I can see someone saying, well, I'm just going to tell you how I feel and get over it, you know, that kind of thing like that. Can you temper, can you give us the right way to view assertive? Because I don't think assertiveness is bulldozing anyone. But go ahead. Tell us how we can view that.
Yeah, sure. I think sometimes we confuse assertiveness with aggressiveness. So when I'm aggressive with someone, I'm saying your thoughts and opinions and words don't matter, and mine do. But when you're assertive, you're telling someone, okay, both of us matter. Both of our ideas, both of our opinions matter. And we can be honest and direct, and we can let people know where we stand. And we can be clear without being condescending or overbearing. So there's like four steps to assertiveness. And the first thing is that we want to describe the problem to the person. So if we say to them, you know, when you are constantly late, that's the problem. And then the second step is to tell the person how we feel about their behavior. So when you're constantly late, I feel disrespected. And so, again, you're talking about your own feelings, your own response. And then you can let them know how that behavior affects you. So when you're constantly late, I feel disrespected and my time is wasted. And then finally, you can suggest a new behavior that you would prefer. In the future, I would prefer you being on time, or at least letting me know when you're going to be late. Now, the thing about that is the other person still may not change, but the victory here is that we've been able to stand up for ourselves and not be a doormat, and not be someone who is going to get overly upset and become aggressive and yell and scream and stomp our feet when we're mistreated, but that we're going to set some good boundaries.
It's interesting that you use this example of a mother-daughter relationship without also giving away anything. A young lady was telling me that her daughter was very disrespectful towards her. She did not tell me the reasons why, but I suspect it's things from the past that the daughter is referring to and very angry at her mom. If the parent is the one in the wrong, whatever that is, if the parent is in the wrong and they want to make amends, but their offspring is causing issues, but you want to reset this relationship, but it's difficult when you're the one in the wrong. And that's something that I think some people deal with, like, I could have been at home more, I didn't do this, whatever. How can they reset that relationship if their offspring keeps bringing it up, their mistakes?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think the only response to that is to ask whether or not the person has forgiven. One thing we have to be cautious about here is that forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. So just because you forgive someone doesn't always mean you have to reconcile with them. We do have to be cautious about who we're around, and certainly we would not want to expose ourselves or someone else to further abuse or neglect or harm. But if somebody is continuing to bring something up from the past, the real question is, have they forgiven? So often, in order for us to forgive, we expect or even demand an apology. But the reality is, we won't always get an apology. Sometimes we have to make the decision to forgive, even when the other person never recognizes that they're wrong and never asks for our forgiveness. But if we don't forgive, we're just holding our own heads underwater, and we're the ones that continue to suffer. And ultimately, yes, our relationships can suffer. So like in an example that you just gave, that daughter would have to choose to forgive her mother in order for their relationship to have, you know, maybe become healthy or return to a state of being healthy.
What about situations where nothing traumatic, what I mean by traumatic, nothing like abuse or anything like that, but a mom and a daughter, they just can't get along, you know, for whatever, they just can't get along, and it's just easier for them to be apart. Is that truly the only option that a person has?
You know, I don't think so. I just mentioned a minute ago about reconciliation, and I do believe that we have to be cautious about implying that every relationship has to be reconciled, because there are some that are truly unhealthy and abusive, and that's not what we should, you know, want for anyone. But at the same time, I do believe that God calls us to be reconciled where we can, you know, if it's up to us to be at peace with others. So we want to do that. And I think of when we talk about forgiveness, like Colossians 3:13, that says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So we just have to think about forgiveness in this way. Is what this person has done to us any worse than what we've done against God? And the answer is always going to be no. Our sin against God is always going to be greater than any sin that anyone's perpetrated against us. And so if we can forgive and we're able to reconcile with them, then I think that that is what God would have for us. And again, in some cases, it's not the best thing. Now, absence makes the heart grow fonder, as that old expression goes, and I do think that could be the truth. So sometimes, you know, you might need a little break from each other, and especially if you have the people, you know, living in the house together. I think of teenage girls and their mothers bickering. Like, sometimes you just need a little bit of space from each other. Take a time out, take a break, and then come back together. You know, we don't have to talk about everything in the heat of the moment. We can take some time out and just take some time to relax, take some time to think, take some time to pray, and then come back together and talk about whatever was causing the conflict.
Let me switch up something here, because recently, and I may have, I shared with some of my listeners several times last year, I lost several friendships that were extremely important to me. And one of the things that I found out was that the relationship that I thought I had with these friends was not the one that they had with me. And that was a huge eye-opener into the type of person that I am. It made me start to doubt myself and say, am I just really a poor judge of character? So I want to talk about friendships, because I am also looking for ways to get better. One thing I did this year to kind of offset this, and I don't mind being transparent in this, one thing I did was put my word for the year to be no. And no meant to, for me to set boundaries for my time, set boundaries for myself, you know, because it really hurt to lose those friendships. It really hurt. And I was devastated for a very long time. I smiled, I laughed, but I was devastated because I could not believe that what I thought we had did not even exist for the other person. And that was heart-wrenching for me. And so when we're at this point, how do we heal finding things out like that? So I would love to get just your thoughts on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, broken relationships are really challenging. And sometimes I think that the broken relationship between two women can be one of the most painful of all, especially when you've poured so much into a friendship and you think, I thought that we would be friends forever. And I've had my share of that too, Parker. I've lost friends and been really surprised. And I mentioned a little while ago about social media, and what one thing that I've discovered is that social media can drive a wedge between friends. I know someone who lost a friend, that the friend unfriended them, and when they called to find out why, they were told, I don't like your political views, and I didn't know you thought that. They had been friends for 20, 30 years. And they didn't know that aspect of each other, and they were surprised to learn that they were on opposite ends of the spectrum on some things, and their friendship ended. And it's just so sad that these types of things drive a wedge between us. And I think, too, it makes you wonder, well, are we really transparent in our friendships? And that doesn't mean that we have to be transparent with every friend, but that we should be seeking to have some deep relationships. I think sometimes people focus on the number of friends and wanting a lot of friends rather than wanting meaningful friendships. And if I'm going to focus on having meaningful, deep, rich friendships, then we should be able to weather some storms together. And if we don't weather a storm, then maybe the friendship was not as strong as we thought it was. But ultimately, it does hurt. It is painful. And it does take time to recover from a broken friendship, because a lot is lost there. Not only is the relationship lost, but trust is lost. Sometimes we struggle with that insecurity thing again, question who we are as a friend, as a person. And so it is painful. First of all, I want to acknowledge that it's really painful.
Yeah. And that was one thing I had a hard time dealing with. I had a hard time dealing with that, and it was I was actually going through that when we met last year at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference. I was actually going through that, and I remember meeting just wonderful women of God who just poured into me words that I needed to hear because I was broken. Like you said, especially when it's between women, and you depend on your girlfriends to take you through. Like if you're having an issue, you depend on their friendship. You know, you depend on like going over the house, say, "Oh my gosh, guess what happened? So and so," and to have that suddenly ripped away from you, and dragged away, and to look and said, what I thought we had, we never had. It just breaks your heart. It really did. For a long time, I couldn't get over it. It was just so devastating. And so I know someone else may be going through that exact same thing right now. So one thing you mentioned is there were things that you have to do to kind of heal over a broken heart, because a broken heart is not always related to a romantic relationship, though it can be, but that broken friendship, you know, and those bonds that I pull there and stuff like that. Does a broken heart lead to a relational reset? And I hope I'm saying that right, Dr. Shaler, because I got a lot of thoughts kind of cascading through my mind here. So if I'm saying it wrong, correct me where I'm wrong.
Well, I think actually that's a great thought, that if we have a broken friendship, one thing that we can do is to take some time to evaluate who we are as a friend, our other friendships, who we want to be, who we want to invest in, and realizing that there are going to be seasons. And so sometimes what appears to be a broken friendship is really just a pause in the friendship. I have a great story about that, where I had a friend that I was close with, and like circumstances just kind of took us apart for a while, and there wasn't any conflict, but we just didn't see each other. We didn't live in the same place. We didn't really keep in touch with each other. And this was, you know, most of that time was spent before texting, before Facebook. So, you know, you kind of
right.
had to, you know, make an opportunity to connect with people. And we kind of lost touch. But then the Lord brought us back together, and we're as close as we ever were. So, I also recognize there are times like that. But when we have an actual conflict, or when somebody is very specifically, either it's implicit or it's explicit, look, I don't want to be friends with you anymore for whatever reason. I don't want to be friends. And whether they say those words or they share that through their actions of never contacting you, deleting you off Facebook, not communicating with you anymore, that can be really painful. But we can take that as an opportunity to determine how we are going to go about the rest of the relationships in our lives, and not allowing that one relationship to dictate our feelings, because so often don't we think about that one that's lost, and we don't look at all the rest of the beautiful relationships that we have, and it's like, but that one is broken. And so we feel that pain so deeply, and we ignore all the other great ones that we have in our lives. And ultimately, we should desire to, you know, spend time and energy and effort with the people who want to spend that time with us. Now, this is a total separate conversation than when we talk about ministry, or when we talk about evangelism or outreach. That's not what we're talking about. But when we talk about personal friendships,
For sure. And definitely want everyone to get a copy of Relational Reset, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It drops on February 5th, but you can go ahead and get your copy of that today, because it is available on Amazon. If your relationships aren't where you want them to be, I know that you have been titillated by the discussion Dr. Shaler has shared with us about friendships, about parent-child relationships, about relationships in general. And when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about what are some unhealthy patterns that we may have that may keep us in a relationship that needs to be reset, or maybe something that we need to consider more drastic measures. And that may sound harsh, but at the same time, we really need to know what our relationships are if we want to make them better. You can call in at 929-477-1965 and press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hi. Is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YattyCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YattyCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. I'm having such a great time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Dr. Shaler. She is the author of the book Relational Reset. And Relational Reset, it's unlearning the habits that hold you back. Are your relationships all that you want them to be? If they're not, you definitely want to pick up a copy of Dr. Shaler's book today. It's available on Amazon.com, but the official release is Tuesday, February 5th. Let me tell you, this book is going to change your life and change your way of thinking. Dr. Shaler, once again, thank you for being with us on the show, for letting us talk about your newest book, Relational Reset. One of the things I wanted to touch on is the fact that we do have unhealthy habits and patterns that we need to discuss. We talked about a couple of them with insecurities, and I know I expressed my own insecurities that I have. What are some other unhealthy patterns or habits that we have when we discuss relationships in general?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the ones that comes to my mind, given the last segment and talking about friendships, is with envy. So being envious of others is something that we can struggle with and that can really cause us a problem in our relationships. And there are things that we can do to help eradicate envy. But I think, first of all, we have to understand what envy is. I kind of interchange the words envy and jealousy. I mean, technically, they have a little bit of different definitions, but they're very similar. And that jealousy isn't just about friendships. I think of siblings and sibling rivalry and the problems that that can cause when you feel like, you know, maybe a parent likes your sister or brother better than they like you, or maybe your sister and brother thinks your parents like you better, and that can really cause some problems in the family. One of the stories that I share about in Relational Reset is with King Solomon and Bathsheba when Adonijah wanted to marry Abishag, and Solomon wound up having Adonijah killed. And when you kind of dig into that story and peel back the layers, you learn that a lot of that had to do with the fire of jealousy. And so that can really just cause a lot of problems in our relationship. We've also touched on social media and the problems that that can cause. And certainly that can stir up envy in people. I think of just throughout the year, different holidays, for example, and maybe somebody posts a family photo at Easter and you think, oh, that's the perfect family. And I don't get to have the perfect family. And you become jealous of them without stopping to think about, first of all, you don't know what's behind that picture, and you don't necessarily always know the truth behind someone's family. But also, we ignore how God has blessed us, and we stop thinking and considering and praising God for what he's given us, and we stop feeling grateful, and instead we feel jealous and envy. And so when we struggle with jealousy, it can be difficult to practice gratitude, but really practicing gratitude is one way that we can unlearn the bad habit of jealousy and envy, and we can enhance our relationships when we can genuinely say congratulations to someone without feeling jealous that they got something that we wanted.
That is a tough one there, when you talk about jealousy and envy, because there is a difference. It's nuanced, but there is a difference. And one of the things that came to mind, because, you know, I work with so many authors, is that some authors can look at another author, and we're not even talking like sisters, brothers, but look at another author that they, you know, network with, and, oh, so-and-so has more books out than I do, so-and-so makes more money than I do, so-and-so, whatever, you know, more followers than I do. And instead of being happy for that person, we go, ugh. You know what I mean? You get this, like, ugh feeling, you know.
We do, Parker. I had that experience last week. I'll just be completely honest. Somebody shared about a Bible study, and there are 80,000 people that have enrolled in that Bible study. And so the author of that Bible study has already sold at least 80,000 copies of her book. And there was that moment of jealousy. And then it's just reminding myself, but the way that she got to that book was through a lot of suffering. And this is the Lord turning beauty from ashes. And I can say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you have done in her life and for the way that you've used her and the way that you've ministered to her and the way that she ministers to others. And even if I never sell 80,000 books, it's okay because it's whatever you want. So we just, again, we have to practice that gratitude because there are others who may contact me and say, oh, you got a book published, and I'd love to publish a book. So we just have to practice that gratitude and be grateful for what God has given to us and for what he has called us to do. And if we would just focus more on that instead of wishing we had what other people had, oh, our lives would be so much more peaceful.
Oh, yeah, it would be. And I love how you said that because for some people, they do get upset because it's not them. And so I've had that in the past where I got jealous, particularly because I see some of my author friends and people I know having babies, and that's something that I would love to have as a baby. And that may not be in the books for me, you know. And so dealing with that, sometimes you see someone get pregnant, and I automatically go, you know, ugh, and then I say, stop doing that. Be happy, you know, be happy for that person, you know, be happy for what they have. Just be happy for them. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard, but it's okay. I think it's okay to admit it that it's hard. I'm having a moment right now, and then just give that concern to the Lord. Give it to him and let him take that, you know? You know? And so
it's really powerful when we're honest.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're both like on fire right now. Yeah. I think that it's a good thing when we're honest and we're able to say, I struggle with this, because we don't want to put ourselves up on a pedestal and act like we're perfect and like we don't ever struggle. And it's something that it took me a while to be able to be transparent, because I used to think, well, I'm a therapist. Like, nobody wants a therapist that has some issues. It's like, well, we all have issues. We all have issues. And, you know, Parker, I just want to speak directly to you related to the issue of, you know, having children. Like, I've been where you are. And so, you know, I even share an example in the book about, like, you know, how hard it is when you see that couple. Maybe it's a couple who, you know, maybe they didn't even, they weren't hoping for another child, or maybe they just got married like a few weeks ago, whatever the circumstance is, and you feel that jealousy. And then I just had to temper that. And especially when it comes down to your personal friends or people that you know, or, you know, good Christian couple, and it's like, okay, thank you, Lord, that baby's going to be raised in the Christian home. And sometimes sometimes maybe you don't think the child is going to be raised in the great home. Maybe you think we would have been better parents than them. But again, you just have to give that to the Lord and to say, God, I don't understand why they have this child and we don't, but we're just going to thank you for how you blessed us, and we're just going to pray for that child and a hedge of protection over that child, and that child will have positive influences in their life. And it's tough, and I think it's okay and it's good to be honest about what we struggle with. And at the same time, remember God's word. I think in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, what's often called the love chapter, and that love doesn't envy. When we focus on love, there's no space to be jealous.
And there really isn't. And so it's a process. It's nothing that we're going to capture on the first day. It's something like someone told me recently, forgiveness is not like a one-time thing. You may have to say it 1,000 times. I forgive someone. I forgive someone, because it's a process. And that's an important part when we talk about relational reset, is that it's a process of unlearning bad habits. It's a process of unlearning how not to be not unlearning, but learning how to be more assertive and not necessarily aggressive. It's a process of learning how to forgive. It's a lot of processes here. And that's what you'll get in Relational Reset, which is available on Amazon.com, but drops live February 5th. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy. One thing I got to ask you, Dr. Shaler, when we talk about things, you know, you made the point of you always refer back to the Word of God. And I think that's very important because if we want to know about relationships, the Bible has so many different relationships that have been affected in so many different ways. I mean, any relationship you can think about is in the Word of God. Friendships, yes. Romantic relationships, mother-daughter relationships, father-son relationships. If anything, God is very much involved in relationships, and God can heal every single one. And I think that is the hope we hold on to when we talk about relational reset. Because reset, like as we said earlier, doesn't mean necessarily the end. It could be a pause, or a relational reset could lead to a relationship becoming even stronger. In the few moments we have left, go ahead and speak to that and how God can take our efforts to reset a relationship and do so much more with them.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the most important thing here is that our relationship with God has to come first, and it has to be strong and solid, and we have to be focused on our relationship with Him. It's the most important relationship. God is the only one who loves us unconditionally. He's the only one that will never fail us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Every single other relationship in our life will have moments of disappointment, but our relationship with God, God will never fail us. Now, there are times that we go through something that's deeply painful, and we might not feel God's presence, but we can be assured in accordance with the Holy Word that He is there for us. So we have to make sure that our relationship with Him is solid, because it's the only way we can even have a hope for having a positive relationship with anyone else.
That just rings so much joy as I listen to that. And I know for our listeners that are listening in, who've been listening in for the entire time, actually, I know that this rings true for you as well. Because relationships are difficult. Even a good relationship has its bad days. You know, Dr. Shaler, even one where you guys get along, whether it's a marriage, whether it's siblings, even they have bad days. And so this thing about relationships is just so vital for us to develop. I was thinking about something that happened. Me and my twin sister, we're working on our books, and so we want to write one together. And I did something stupid. She didn't explain it to me right. And all of a sudden she started crying. And I'm like, what are you crying about? And she's crying. I said, how old are we? You know, like, how old are we? Why are you crying? And then when I found out that what she wanted me to do was something very simple, but she didn't explain it that way, I said, okay, I'm sorry. And she gave me a hug. And I said, you know, this is ridiculous, right? She said, it doesn't matter. You're my twin sister, and I want to do everything with you, you know. And when she said that, I said, okay. And I thought about that because these relationships, they matter. They are important, and something so tiny can ruin it very quickly. But when you hurry to fix them, they can be fixed. And I think that's another aspect of relational reset, Dr. Shaler. From people who've read, let's say, like the ARC copies, or people who've gotten like copies of them for them to get a review, what has been some of that initial response from the book?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. We have had some really positive feedback, and have a great launch team that's kind of trying to help me spread the word and let everyone know about it. And that's really, you know, what I'm hearing from them is that it's resonating with them, that people, you know, from all different walks of life and all different age groups and all kinds of relationships, and they are finding that there's something in here that's helpful to them. They're learning about disappointments. They're learning about how not to be offended, and how to deal with offenses, and just learning ultimately how to repair their relationships and make the bonds between them and the people in their life as strong as possible. And so it's hopeful and positive.
Dr. Shaler, you did mention that we have an opportunity to connect with you online. So go ahead and give us the social media outlets.
Yeah, great. So I'm on Facebook and Twitter, Dr. Laurel Shaler. I'm also on Instagram and Pinterest under Dr. Laurel Shaler, but I'm not on there as much. So the best places to connect with me are Facebook and Twitter, Dr. Laurel Shaler on Facebook, and my Twitter handle is at Dr. Laurel Shaler. And I also have a website, and that's also drlaurelshaler.com.
Now, you have a lot of experience behind you, Dr. Shaler. If people are in a local area, are you currently accepting patients or is that the way you want to say it, patients? I don't want to say it wrong. Are you currently accepting patients right now?
Yeah, typically clients.
Clients,
yes,
okay.
And on my website, I do provide an office phone number if somebody has an interest. I have a pretty small practice, but for clients that I'm not able to see, I also have a network of other people I can refer them to. But if you are someone, to anyone listening, if you're someone who is struggling and you think that you need to see a mental health professional, I recommend that you check out either Focus on the Family or the American Association of Christian Counselors, and both of those websites provide information on how to find a local counselor.
One of the things that I love about your website is that you are so gung-ho for the Lord, and you do not hold that back. And that was something I was impressed with when we met in California last year. You know, you did not hold that back. And for those listening, some people think that being a mental health professional, being a therapist, you have to avoid yourself of faith, avoid yourself of that type of thing. And you are just blowing the box out of that, you know, that there's no such thing as the Lord not being involved in my work. Why, in a few moments ago I left, why is that an important part of your practice? Is the fact that Jesus is with you. Why is that such an important part of your practice?
Yeah, absolutely. I just, you know, apart from him, we can do nothing. And I just really believe that all of our efforts are in vain if we don't point people back to the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. So that's, you know, where my heart is. And even in my practice, I have an informed consent that explains that I practice from a Christian worldview. And it's not that all of my clients all think exactly the same, but that ultimately that's the truth that I want to point them back to. It's still clinical counseling, clinical mental health counseling. I use evidence-based treatment. But at the same time, there's that Christian integration piece, because I know that ultimately I'm going to be responsible to the Lord for what I did with my short time here on earth. I had a dear family friend named Josh Burgess. He was killed in an accident on December 5th at 17 years old. But the reality is that whether you're 17 or 97, our lives are very short. They are very brief. They're but a vapor, the word tells us. And we have this short opportunity to make an impact on other people for Jesus. And I just want to say in closing that Josh Burgess, as a 17-year-old high school student, did that. He lived for the glory of Jesus Christ, and now he is with Jesus.
Dr. Shaler, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us on the show today. Thank you for writing Relational Reset. Thank you for letting us connect with you and helping us to unpack these very difficult topics about relationships. And we would love to have you back on the show and have you back real soon.
Okay, thanks so much, Parker. It's been a blessing to be here.
And we were talking today to Dr. Shaler. She is the author of the book Relational Reset. It's available on Amazon.com. It drops officially on February 5th, so make sure you go ahead and get your copy of that ASAP. Are your relationships all that you want them to be? Not just your romantic relationships, but your friendships, your sibling relationships, relationships between your mother and your father are what you want them to be. If they're not, then I suggest getting a copy of Relational Reset. Unlearn habits that are making those relationships not where you want them to be. Perhaps it's unforgiveness, perhaps it's insecurity, perhaps it's envy. Whatever it is, go ahead, get the book, and reset your relationship. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious blessed day, and God bless.